This is the Schnitt Show.
Now, facts are a funny thing. Yeah, when you have an organization like factcheck.org, you know, call you out on simple numbers, well, I don't think it really helps your truthfulness rating, your integrity rating. And so you have the Biden administration having to roll back their pie-in-the-sky infrastructure predictions on job creation here in the United States. All right, welcome back to Schnitt. If you missed the very tail end of the program just moments ago, I want to spend just a moment or so before we move on to the latest on Matt Gaetz. Yeah, a little problem here because you have, I'm sure, heard that Joe Biden, the president, and the administration and his economic folks that are, you know, pushing this pie-in-the-sky infrastructural spending plan, $2.3 trillion in spending, you know, over what, 10 years? And they're pushing this amazing job creation. 19 million jobs are going to be created because of this $2.3 trillion that's going to be spent. Oh, they've been talking about, here's where they're being called on the carpet. They've been using Moody's numbers. So the financial organization and analysis company Moody's, Biden, the president, Joe Biden, and members of his economic team, they're pushing this plan and they're talking about, oh, the Moody's analysis, and Moody's is saying that, oh my God, the $2.3 trillion plan is going to add 19 million jobs to the U.S. economy. Well, it's not the case. What that number includes is 16.3 million jobs that Moody's had already projected would be added to the U.S. economy, even if the $2.3 trillion infrastructural spending proposal never happened. So nearly 16.5 million jobs were already going to be created. So wait a minute. Are you telling me that the $2.3 trillion plan is only going to add a couple of million additional jobs? What, 2.5 million jobs, really? Yeah, a little problem here. So now the Biden administration, they've been misquoting the Moody's projections. So now they got to roll that back. Yeah, a little problem. Whoopsies. Whoops. Welcome to Schnitt, 800-801-8999, the nationwide number here on Schnitt. If you want to get on, questions, comments, you want to agree with me, disagree with me, you want to bring something new to the program, maybe you feel that I have not touched on something of major significance. Maybe you think that I've been negligent behind this microphone, and there's a particular item that I have not brought up. Well, hey. That's a fair game as well. 800-801-8999. 800-801-8999. Matt Gaetz, Donald Trump, the latest saga here. Let's jump in. We've got the president responding as well. Listen, when you're dealing with President Trump, when you're dealing with Representative Matt Gaetz, nothing's going to be simple here, and nothing's going to be mundane. Yeah, former President Trump, obviously, even in his capacity, not in the White House, you know, certainly knows how to make some noise. And he's essentially calling out the New York Times for fake news. Now, let's start at the beginning. And, of course, you know the whole Matt Gaetz scandal. You know everything that's brewing and, you know, is an indictment imminent? You know, numerous reports have said that Matt Gaetz's arrest is imminent. We'll see. So let's go to the next chapter. This occurred last night, and this was according to New York Times reporting. And the allegation, according to the New York Times, is that Matt Gaetz reportedly wanted a blanket pardon from former President Trump before he left the White House. When he was President Trump, before noon on January 20th of this year versus after 12 noon. According to Maggie Haberman, well-known writer at the New York Times, and then her very common writing partner is Michael Schmidt, Matt Gaetz reportedly asked former President Trump for a blanket preemptive pardon, or pardons, multiple, for himself and for some other allies that he has in Congress. Now, the New York Times reported notes that it's unclear whether Gaetz or the White House knew about the DOJ criminal investigation of Gaetz at the time that he reportedly made the request to get this pardon going. Essentially, a get-out-of-jail-free card. But then you have to ask yourself, why would Gaetz ask for a pardon? So if Gaetz is asking for a preemptive pardon for himself and even trying to be, I guess, friendly, allegedly, and trying to secure some pardons for some others in his caucus, why would he need to ask for a preemptive pardon? Must be something there, right? So he wanted a get-out-of-jail-free card. But top White House lawyers and officials allegedly view the request for a preemptive pardon as a non-starter that would have set a bad precedent for the president. According to the New York Times, a spokesperson for Matt Gaetz denied that he had requested a blanket pardon from Trump. Who, remember, Trump, before he left, he ended up granting clemency to 143 people on his way out of office. But the denial from Matt Gaetz' office is, well, shall we say, just a little bit bizarre. Quote, this is from Matt Gaetz' office. Quote, entry-level political operatives have conflated a pardon call from Representative Gaetz, where he called for President Trump to pardon everyone from himself to his administration to Joe Exotic from these false and increasingly bizarre partisan allegations against him. It's a little odd there, folks. Okay, it's a lot odd. And the Gaetz spokesperson also said, those comments have been on the record for some time, and President Trump even retweeted the congressman who tweeted them out himself. All right, it's true. Okay, it's true. It is true that Gaetz did publicly call on Trump to pardon everyone in an effort to stop what Representative Matt Gaetz referred to as the bloodlust of the left. But the new reporting from the New York Times says it's unclear also whether Trump and Gaetz personally discussed the matter of a pardon directly. And that raises the question, if the story is true, it doesn't mean that Matt Gaetz would go directly to the president or if he would have that type of access to talk directly to Trump. Even though Matt Gaetz displayed himself as one of the most rabid and aggressive MAGA and Trump supporters. What I think is almost a certainty, if Matt Gaetz did in fact seek some kind of pardon, let's say that he knew that there was some crap brewing at the Department of Justice and that, you know, his crooked tax collector buddy from Seminole County, Florida, who's up for what, like 36 federal charges, if I'm not mistaken? You know, if Gaetz knew something was up, is that a reason why he might have asked for it? Now, even if he didn't ask Trump directly and he went through Trump's people, You know, Trump denying today, we'll get into, that's a whole different element. We're going to get into that here in a second. But I got to believe that if Matt Gaetz went to any of the gatekeepers for President Trump at the time, that something like that would clearly make it to President Trump. One of his advisors, one of the gatekeepers saying, oh, by the way, Mr. President, we heard from Representative Matt Gaetz, you know, from Florida. You know who he is. Yeah, first congressional district, kind of a party boy frat dude. Showboater. Hey, much like you know, Trump is. You know, Gaetz, you know, kind of did some, you know, mini Trump stuff. Saw it work for Trump. But, you know, the all-out assault on the media, and that's what Gaetz's reaction now is just to go, you know, just go off on the media. You know, this is a witch hunt. So Gaetz is trying to take many pages out of the Trump playbook. Now, is it going to work? Most likely not. Trump appears to be an absolute anomaly in what he can pull off. I haven't seen anything like this. Most of us have never seen anything like this. Except maybe, you know, during the, you know, Grover Cleveland was pretty good. I don't know. I'm kidding. Yeah, Ulysses S. Grant. You know, no, seriously, Gaetz is trying to, you know, take items directly out of the successful Trump playbook. But, folks, I don't know if any of that is going to work ever for anybody other than Trump. It truly is amazing. And the whole Trump political rise and every aspect, long after we're gone, this is going to be analyzed by political scientists trying to understand what happened. Explain this dynamic. What occurred? Yeah, but I would guess that if Matt Gaetz did go to somebody in Trump land and said, hey, can I please put in for a pardon, whatever the different levels or the reasons were, I got to believe, even if Gaetz didn't speak to Trump directly, that somebody brought it up to Trump. Now, this is where we get into Trump's denial. Yeah, Trump is saying didn't happen. All right, a couple of things at play here. Trump has issued a statement on the allegations in the New York Times piece from last night. So what is Trump saying in the statement? Guess what? Got it right here. Then this is kind of bizarre. Amid all the Matt Gaetz allegations and the supposed federal investigation on sex trafficking and allegedly a 17-year-old girl involved and a violation of federal law because of trafficking and state lines. And again, I will point out 100 times, Matt Gaetz is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. We must afford that to every American. Matt Gaetz, innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. But you're not going to believe, amid the allegations, allegedly, you're not going to believe what event Matt Gaetz is set to attend. Yeah, the timing on this, the optics, I don't think they're good. But then again, this is sort of a Trumpian move that if they're coming at you from this direction, you plow back with artillery twice as big, twice as strong. All right, so let's get into that, and we'll get into the Trump statement and Trump denying that Matt Gaetz asked for a blanket pardon. Now, I can also see why President Trump, why he would want to derail the New York Times report and continue to paint them as fake news. All right, hang on. This is, hold on tight. You're going to have to buckle yourself in because this is going to get pretty fascinating, especially what Matt Gaetz is set to do soon. Oh, my God. All coming up next on Schnitt. Hang on, folks.
This is the Schnitt Show. The Schnitt List is on.
SchnittShow.com.
I have the statement that former President Trump put out this morning in regard to the New York Times piece from last night. And the way things are worded, Trump could actually be 100% accurate in saying that he never asked me, meaning that Matt Gaetz never asked Trump for a pardon. And if Matt Gaetz didn't go directly to the president, if Matt Gaetz did not have access to go to President Trump himself and ask for a pardon, well, then President Trump can, if you want to, you know, do some wordplay, you can say, yeah, that he never asked. But I'm maintaining, if the story's accurate, that Matt Gaetz would have gone to Trump's people, the gatekeepers, and I highly doubt that those gatekeepers would have kept it away from Trump that Matt Gaetz had asked for a pardon. I think the likelihood is probably high that Trump knew that Gaetz had asked for a pardon. And you know, the reason why Gaetz asked for a pardon, if it did happen, would be that already crap was going down with his pal. This Greenberg guy. Yeah, Joel Greenberg, longtime friend of Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz referred to Greenberg as his wingman. Apparently, this Greenberg guy allegedly has roped Matt Gaetz into a whole lot of trouble here, including, this federal investigation and potential charges. All right, Trump's actual words from his statement and a lot more next.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting Schnitt.
Now, what about this speaking engagement that Matt Gaetz has scheduled? Yeah, the timing just a wee bit odd here, and, well, I will explain-ulate in just a matter of moments. Yes, look that word up. It's in the Schnitt Dictionary or the Schnitchinary. 800-801-8999. Number gets you on. Schnitt, any thoughts regarding Matt Gaetz? You think there's any truth to the New York Times report that Matt Gaetz asked for a preemptive pardon? Trump is denying it, and the president put out a statement. This was a release this morning from former President Trump after, of course, the New York Times reported last night that Gaetz sought this preemptive pardon. The former president put out this statement. Congressman Matt Gaetz has never asked me for a pardon. It must also be remembered that he has totally denied the accusations against him. That is, for right now, at least the closest that Matt Gaetz is going to get to any support, any backup from former President Trump. And again, it is being widely reported, and then the New York Times, and then there's another source confirming, and I'll get to that in a second. But in the New York Times piece, they discuss that, Gaetz probably did request the pardon, but the pardon was not directly done to Trump. And this is something that I speculated all along. So Maggie Haberman, she was on CNN this morning. She was on their CNN New Day show this morning. And she brought up the fact Gaetz's pardon request was asked of White House staff, and that if Gaetz did make the request, that it wasn't made directly to Trump, that the request was made to staffers. And that is typically how something like this would go. Unless, of course, that Gates was at some event with the president. Listen, Gates has been a very full-throated supporter, obviously, of President Trump. But the method, the pathway to get something done, to go to aides first and then have the aides bring up to the president, that's very typically the way that something like this would occur. So it's not out of the question. And, you know, therefore, you know, Trump could say that he never asked me for a pardon, when in fact Trump knows that he asked aides for a pardon, knowing that, yes, he wanted a pardon, and that presidential support staff, aides to President Trump at the time, brought the request to the president, but Gates did not ask the president directly, not directly. So that's a way you can sort of play with words and say that Gates never asked me. On top of the New York Times and their report last night, which essentially Trump is, you know, calling fake news, and I also floated the fact that Trump really despises the New York Times, despite having a pretty good relationship for many, many years with Maggie Haberman, the lead writer on the story last night. There is also ABC News. Yeah, ABC News, they're claiming their own sources. ABC News also reporting that Trump was aware of Gates' request. But again, the White House dismissed the Gates request. The White House said no. And the reports that advisors recommended against it. And also, we have the follow-up now that apparently the advisors to Trump now, after the White House, that Citizen Trump is also being advised to stay away from the Gates situation and don't comment on it. There were reports out that Trump was dissuaded against coming out when the Matt Gaetz allegations hit, that Trump was persuaded not to come to Gaetz' defense. Which leads you to believe, do they have information that where there's smoke, there's fire, there's something coming down, Gaetz is in a crap load of trouble, and that that's nothing that Trump wants to be hitched to. And I have, where do I have that? I got that here somewhere. Yeah, that, yeah, I wanted to get the exact language, but something to that effect that they told Trump that you do not want to get. I had an item highlighted here. I don't know what the hell I did with it. Oh, yeah, here we go. I got it. Sorry, folks. I've got so much stuff lying around here on any given day, any given show, that usually I know where everything is, but sometimes I misplace something for 3 to 5 seconds, as I just did. Yeah, the reports are that it was Trump's initial inclination to just jump out and immediately defend Matt Gaetz, but that Trump was talked out of it, that Trump advisors said, nope, this is not a good idea, and that President Trump was ultimately talked out of coming out with a full-throated defense of Gaetz. And, of course, you look at the history of Gaetz, and I don't know if you could find, you know, look at the past 4 years. Look at the Trump presidency. And if we were to rank the most loyal Republicans to President Trump, Matt Gaetz, he would be top three, top two, maybe number one. Hi, everybody, it's Casey Kasem, and we're counting it down. The most loyal Republicans to President Trump. And coming in at number one, from the Florida Panhandle, it's Matt Gaetz. And now, back to the countdown, our long-distance dedication. Yeah, so Gaetz has been unbelievably supporter. I mean, almost like a panting dog. I mean, at times, I mean, it looked as if it was almost ridiculous, you know, with the pandering that Gates had done. And I don't think you could find many more loyal to Trump than Gates. So apparently Trump thought initially, according to sources, Trump said, you know what, this guy's been so loyal to me, I'm going to pay it forward here. I'm going to pay it back, and I'm going to show some of this loyalty back and just go ahead and defend Gates. But then somebody got to Trump, and they told President Trump, President Trump, or whatever they call him now, you still call a former president president. But I'm wondering, like, those that are around the president at Mar-a-Lago in his new office, do they still call him Mr. President? What do you think? Now, those that are offering advice, those that are, consultants, aides, do they call him Mr. President? Yeah, they told him that, again, defending Gates was not a good idea. And because of what Gates was being accused of, and the seriousness of the alleged allegations, that Trump wanted to stay far away, and that President Trump should not climb out on the Matt Gaetz tree limb at this point. All right, so we'll watch this. So that's where we are with the Trump response and the whole metamorphosis of how this developed. And I think it's plausible, again, that Trump can make the statement, Matt Gaetz never asked me, which could be factually correct, but Trump knowing that Gaetz did ask his aides to get to the president that he would like a blanket pardon. And I'm sure Trump would have been aware of that. Now we have this is just odd. Matt Gaetz is going to speak at a Women for America First Summit. This is in the middle of accusations that he had sex with a 17-year-old girl, allegedly, and that she was trafficked across state lines, making it a federal offense to supply items of value while transporting such underage individual. And then having sexual relations, this could be problematic. And as we've told you before, that the Department of Justice, they have a history of going after cases like this. They've prosecuted a lot of similar cases. And there are many examples where the perp did some serious federal jail time. Yeah, we're not talking about some little cushy county lockup. We're talking federal time in a federal prison. Is that where Matt Gaetz is headed? I'll tell you where he's headed, though, before that, is Matt Gaetz is going to be a special guest at the upcoming Women for America First Summit. This is going to be held in Miami, even though he's getting hit with these accusations of paying for sex with women. So you have the 17-year-old accusation. Then you have accusations that are floating around that Gaetz would regularly pay for sex with women, according to reports. He is set to speak at the four-day Save America Summit, and that starts tomorrow. Apparently, he's going to be the headline speaker now. Representative Matt Gaetz has been a fearless leader in D.C. Few members of Congress have been more willing than Matt to stand up and fight on behalf of President Trump and his America First agenda. Women for America First tweeted that message out yesterday. We are honored to have at Rep Matt Gaetz speak at the Save America Summit. I mean, I think the timing, here's a women's group, timing a little odd, but also this is an extremely pro-Trump women's group. I'm guessing, should I say this? Of course I should. I'm guessing that this group probably gives a thumbs up to Trump saying that if you're a celebrity, you can grab women by the pee. I'm not joking around. This group is so pro-Trump that I think Trump could probably grab the women running this group by the pee. And I think that they would love it. They would probably ask the president to autograph their you get the point here. Yeah, it's an extremely pro-Trump group, and I don't know if, I mean, maybe if Trump shot one of the board members in the head on Fifth Avenue, would they still be behind the president? Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So, should Trump test this? Should Trump try to shoot one of the members of this Women First organization and see what happens? Oh, Mr. President, that was delightful. We are so grateful. We are so honored that you shot Linda in the head. I'm sorry. Now, listen, I'm just trying to point out that this is a very, very, very pro-Trump group. In fact, would you like to know another little chunk of information here? This particular group, this Women for America First, this group also paid for the January 6th Trump permit for Trump's rally on the Ellipse in Washington, D.C., preceding the riot. That's true. That happened. Now, again, listen. That event, I don't blame anybody for that event in the actual, well, the actual event occurring. To have a rally. I don't put a blanket blame on having an event in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Now, where I have a problem are the pretenses or the precursors and the continuation of the election was stolen. There was massive fraud. And, of course, that did jack up and rile up the crowd. There's no doubt about that. But the actual parameters of having an event, I'm not going to dispute that. You have the ability to assemble. They applied for a permit. I have a problem of the continuation of the false claims that the election was stolen, it was completely fraudulent, that Trump won in a landslide. And, of course, some of that did fuel the insurgents on Capitol Hill on January 6th. But I thought it was also interesting, the group that's having Matt Gaetz speak, that they also did pay for the parks permit to hold that rally on January 6th. And listen, there was a lot of yammer. There was a lot of talk that day. The crowd was amped up. Yeah, the president, reiterating the election was stolen. You had a ton of surrogates. You had congressional supporters. You had additional speakers also making statements that could inflame the crowd. And, of course, we know that a good deal of the insurgency was premeditated, especially with the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, some of the white supremacist groups, the Proud Boys. It was really a hodgepodge, and it was an amalgamation of what happened on January 6th. You had people that went to Washington, D.C. Clearly, they were loaded for bear, and they were ready. They were supplied. There was communication. They knew what they were doing. There was absolute premeditation on behalf of some and the groups I mentioned. Then you had some of the folks that were at the rally that joined the march down to the Capitol. I'm sure a lot of the premeditated folks, they were already staged. And you just had some folks that just got caught up in the moment. But just the Gaetz situation speaking, it just seems odd. But when you look at the organization, it's probably not that odd, actually. Back in a minute.
Schnitt Show.
lined up, ready to roll, and the continuation of the defense of the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, over that bogus 60 Minutes piece continues, and one of the Democrats is doubling down in defense. Back in a minute.
The Schnitt Show.